You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw,
who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
Hey guys, this is Steli and Heaton here at still the world's best business podcast until we have a better name or we decide to keep this one forever. I'm going to give a quick update on what's going on and then let's jump into the topic for today. So one interesting thing that's going on right now in my life is planning for a six-week speaking conference and traveling extravaganza in May. So in May, I'm going to be in Europe, Germany, Vienna, Austria, Turkey, Montenegro, and a bunch of other places. And just like trying to manage that and decide when I'm going to do what and how I'm going to be productive has made the last few days really painful for me.
Are you going with your family?
Yes, family is going to come too, but they're going to stay with our family in Europe while I'm doing all the speaking stuff.
Cool.
How about you?
So I'm Heaton, the other half of this podcast, or one quarter, depending on how you look at it. I just announced a few weeks ago that my co-founder and I have moved on officially from our last company, Kissmetrics. So we're working on our first company, Crazy Egg, and we're starting up to build new software. So it's actually... The company Kissmetrics was about 70 people before I officially left it. I'm still on the board and still involved. And I haven't started something like a new company in a very long time. I'd say it's been 7 years. Kissmetrics was started in 2008. So I'm essentially starting a new company in a lot of ways. It is an existing business that my co-founder had called QuickSprout. And so it's been very interesting to start a company. And I'll give one tidbit that one of the most interesting things I noticed is we started the business with Slack, and there is literally emails like you could see the dust balls, cotton balls, mothballs, whatever you want to call it in email from that domain, QuickSprout, because nobody emails. Everybody Slacks everything. And so it's just a way different change. Like I'd usually get like even from like four or five people, 20 or 30 emails back in 2008. And now it's like no email about the company. It's all Slack.
Yeah, it's crazy. We use chat as well internally, and we almost never do email in the company, ever. It's nuts. All right, so let's talk about the thing we want to talk about today, which is freemium for SaaS.
Yep.
I'll give a quick backstory on why I want to talk about this today with you is because Heaton has been pounding on me on the importance of free and freemium for SaaS, knowing that we don't have a freemium model at Klozio, and there's a lot in me that rebels against that you have to have a free version and all the other companies that do will kill you. So we've gone back and forth a little bit, and this is still an unresolved issue. I'm still thinking about it daily. You know, I haven't turned the corner yes or no, black or white on it. So I have the desire to talk more about this with you, and I thought might as well have other people listen and hopefully benefit from it.
Yeah, I have a desire to talk about this all day.
So... why do you think freemium is an absolute must? You said you would never launch a SaaS business again without a free plan.
So I'm pretty against dogma too. So so it's hard for me to say that I'd never launch a SaaS business without freemium. What I would say is in today's reality, I don't think it, for me especially, I don't think it makes sense to release a SaaS product without a free plan.
Why?
And it's a free forever plan. And the reason I say that is, and that also depends on the markets you choose, right? If you just choose an enterprise product, you can argue with me all day that like, it's enterprise, people pay. Then I'd argue with you about, well, there's probably ways you could do free without being freemium. So you could do open source stuff for free, because at the end of the day, you need end user adoption regardless for your business to survive. So if there's a trick to get that, that would be cool. And not even a trick, but like a method. I guess the reason I wouldn't launch without a free product in my SaaS business is because it's easier than ever to get somebody to try a product. And it's probably harder than ever to keep a customer. And a free product helps you make it even easier for them to try it. And I believe even easier for them to keep it and stay with it.
All right. So I agree with you on the first part, right? A free version of the product makes it easier for people to try it. Check. Cool. I'm good. I'm with you. But a free product makes it easier for you to keep a customer. You need to break that down for me. Because here's here's a little breakdown. I'm going to be really personal with Closeout, right? So we believe in money. We love money, right? There's not much to believe in. We just like it a lot. It's a personal thing.
Me too.
Yes.
I get that.
Hey, you do. Hey, you do. If you didn't, I would not want to have this show with you.
Yes.
But you do, and I know that, that you do. We have, you know, we have customers we love. And one thing that I'm worried about when it comes to attracting people on free, if it's not a super end consumer-ishy product like a Dropbox or an Evernote, right? Something that millions will use, and once they start using it, they're totally hooked, is that free sets the tone to a certain degree. Like if I start something on free and then it becomes really expensive, that's kind of a drastic change in our relationship that might affect the way I perceive it as an end user.
Yeah.
Also, free being one of the main benefits that attracted me to the product might be telling on what I'm looking for in the market.
Yeah.
And then once you know, why should I transition to paying if I can't keep looking for other free options and alternatives? There's some products that are just, you know, amazing in their lock-in, but they're just, I could name them like less than a hand. Most products, even when they're really awesome, they might have some things that are not perfect yet. And I'm wondering, when do you make that transition? How do you do that? Who is the ideal customer where freemium is best? Or do you think, let's take out the enterprise, but would you also for like the mid-sized businesses and small businesses, other than just professional or prosumers, how do you think about like, why is keeping customers easier when you have a free plan?
Yeah, if they sign up for a free product, you have the ability to solve for things that you can only solve for in just a paid product once they've committed to agreeing to pay a certain price for it. So whether that's because they sign up for a free trial and they know that they have a certain amount of time, the time trials are a forcing function in products, and it's actually hard to get people back after they leave from a trial. Like, yes, there's a probably single digit percentage that'll come back in most products just randomly, like months later or something. What if you could just keep them the whole time? And they were at least, you know, getting your emails, and it was still a product-oriented thing and not like, I need to turn on my trial again or I need to come back. So I think – but that's a small percentage, right?
Yeah.
So the way I see it is if you design – it's all about how you design the free product. I wouldn't flippantly say make it up and just do it. This is not one of those situations. To me, this is like, can you be thoughtful about how you do free? So one way to do free is – get people who are barely ready for your paid product to start using a free version of your product so that they think of you before they think of anyone else in your market, right? And that could involve one seat in a sales CRM tool like yours, right? It could involve limited functionality that was very core though and got them integrated. For example, in a product like a lot of mine where you have to put a script on a website, getting them to put a script for free is a really powerful thing because everything else comes out of that. So if they don't have a script, they're not getting value from the product. It's like a gate in the product.
Yeah.
In your product, I would say if they're not putting their contacts in, I would say integrated with contacts, however you do it, they're not going to get value from the product because it's a contact system, right?
Yeah.
It's a contact manager at the end of the day. So what if you, with a free product, you could get them to put all their contacts in, as an example, or integrate with Gmail, authenticate with Gmail, you pull contacts in or something like that and give them some value to help them start understanding ideally what your core value proposition is. So if free can help you get people integrated and keep them around so that they don't have this pressure of a time trial, I think that you build a stronger relationship with them with less effort. So that way you can keep them longer. The other idea of free is like if somebody doesn't want to pay ever, if you can find a way to get a benefit from them. For example, if a CRM tool is powering email, all the free product says powered by close.io at the bottom, and you get this effect, obviously, of people discovering the product that might not know about it, clicking, and then maybe becoming customers themselves. So I think you have to be really thoughtful how you do it and see if there's any advantages like that you can find.
Yeah, you make some good points. Interestingly enough, with the powered by close.io, this is a side note, but still that I want to highlight. When we first launched close.io, during the trial, we'd have any email you'd send to our system that had like the powered by Closeout thing.
Yeah.
And then we got like consistently a large number of people saying, can you disable that so I can really start sending the emails? Because I don't want to send emails telling people, you know, powered by Closeout. I think even it was Closeout sale, close more deals, make more sales. Maybe it was too aggressive of a messaging.
So imagine if you did that on a free product. People understand the trade-off.
Yeah.
They understand they get to use it for free. You get to brand their emails, and hopefully that keeps you around and keeps that free plan alive for them. And then the people that want to upgrade, it's like one of the easiest upgrades to remove powered by. It's the most common upgrades in products that have a powered by feature.
Yeah. All right. So how about, you know, what do you say to people that would say free is not really free because it's really, some people might think about like support cost of supporting lots and lots of people that are not paying in monetary ways. And the other one is just, I want you to talk a little bit about like free as in marketing, right?
Yeah.
Thinking about free as part of your marketing funnel or your marketing activity.
Yeah. I'm going to start with the customer. Right. So in a trial product, customer signs up, you give them a time trial. In your case, you're badass with following up and getting them to do demos and getting them to start using the product. I think you have a specific style of doing that. You guys probably have a very deliberate sales process being a sales driven company. And what happens when someone doesn't convert from a trial? They go away. They leave.
Yep.
And I think that that's a bad experience for the customer. It's just bad. It's like they put all this energy in. You put all this energy in and then all of a sudden you let them go away. So a free product prevents you from having to let them go away. They can fall back on it. You